We have to abort because of the Toyota, not because of the Lincoln. The Lincoln's okay. I checked my watch, checked the road ahead. The van roared on. We would be coming up on Elliot sometime soon. I calculated time and distance. We have to abort, she said again. What about your agent? Getting you killed won't help her. I thought about Quinn. We'll discuss it later. Right now, we stay in business. We passed Elliot after 8 more minutes. His Taurus was sitting rock steady in the inside lane, holding a modest 50. I pulled ahead of him and matched his speed, and he fell in behind. We skirted all the way around Boston and pulled into the first rest area we saw south of the city. The world was a lot busier down there. I sat still with Duffy at my side and watched the ramp for 72 seconds and saw 4 cars follow me in. None of the drivers paid me any attention. A couple of them had passengers. They all did normal rest-stop things like standing and yawning by their open doors and looking around and then heading over to the bathrooms and the fast food. "Where's the next truck?" Duffy asked. "In a lot in New London." "Keys?" "In it." "So there will be people there, too. Nobody leaves a truck alone with the keys in it. They'll be waiting for you. We don't know what they've been told to do. Now, we should consider termination." "I won't walk into a trap," I said. "Not my style. And the next truck might have something better in it." "Okay. We'll check it in New Hampshire, if you get that far." "You could lend me your Glock." I saw her reach up and touch it under her arm.
"How long for?"
"As long as I need it."
"What happened to the Colts?"
"They took them."
"I can't. I can't give up my service weapon."
"You're already way off the books." She paused.
Shit.
She took the Glock out of her holster and passed it to me. It was warm from the heat of her body. I held it in my palm and savored the feeling. She dug in her purse and came out with 2 spare magazines. I put them in one pocket and the gun in the other.
"Thanks."
"See you in New Hampshire," she said. "We'll check the truck and then we'll decide."
"Okay," I said, although I had already decided. Elliot walked over and took the transmitter out of his pocket. Duffy got out of his way, and he stuck it back under her seat. Then they went off together, back to the government Taurus. I waited a plausible amount of time and got back on the road. I found New London without any problem. It was a messy old place. I had never been there before. Never had a reason to go. It's a Navy town. I think they built submarines there, or somewhere nearby. Groton, maybe. The directions Beck had given me brought me off the highway early and threaded me through failing industrial areas. There was plenty of old brick, damp and smoke-stained and rotten. I pulled into the side of the road about a mile short of where I guessed the lot would be. Then I made a right and a left and tried to circle around it. I parked at a busted meter and checked Duffy's gun. It was a Glock 19. It was maybe a year old. It was fully loaded. The spare magazines were full, too. I got out of the truck. I heard booming foghorns way out in the sound. A ferry was heading in. The wind was scraping trash along the street. A hooker stepped out of a doorway and smiled at me. It's a Navy town. She couldn't smell an Army MP the way her sisters could elsewhere. I turned a corner and got a pretty good partial view of the lot I was headed for. The land sloped down toward the sea, and I had some elevation. I could see the truck waiting for me. It was the twin of the one I was in. Same age, same type, same color. It was sitting there all alone. It was in the exact center of the lot, which was just an empty square made of crushed brick and weeds. Some old building had been bulldozed 2 decades ago, and nothing had been built to replace it. I couldn't see anybody waiting for me, although there were 1,000 dirty windows within range, and theoretically all of them could have been full of watchers. But I didn't feel anything. Feeling is a lot worse than knowing, but sometimes it's all you've got. I stood still until I got cold, and then I walked back to the truck. Drove it around the block and into the lot, parked it nose to nose with its twin, pulled the key and dropped it in the door pocket. Glanced around one last time and got out.
I put my hand in my pocket and closed it around Duffy's gun. Listened hard. Nothing but grit blowing and the far-off sounds of a run-down city struggling through the day. I was okay, unless somebody was planning to drop me with a long-range rifle shot, and clutching a Glock 19 in my pocket wasn't going to defend against that. The new truck was cold and still. The door was unlocked, and the key was right there in the pocket. I racked the seat and fixed the mirrors, dropped the key on the floor like I was clumsy, and checked under the seats. No transmitter, just a few gum wrappers and dust bunnies. I started the engine, backed away from the truck I had just gotten out of, and swooped the new one around the lot and aimed it back toward the highway. I didn't see anybody. Nobody came after me. The new truck drove a little better than the old one had. It was a little quieter and a little faster. Maybe it had been around the clock only once. It reeled in the miles, taking me back north. I stared ahead through the windshield and felt like I could see the lonely house on the Rock Finger getting bigger and bigger with every minute. It was drawing me in and repelling me simultaneously with equal force. So I just sat there, immobile, with one hand on the wheel and my eyelids locked open. Rhode Island was quiet. Nobody followed me through it. Massachusetts was mostly a long loop around Boston, and then a sprint through the northeastern bump with the dumps like Lowell on my left, and the cute places like Newburyport and Cape Ann and Gloucester far away on my right. No tail. Then came New Hampshire. I-95 sees about 20 miles of it with Portsmouth as the last stop. I passed it by and watched for rest area signs. I found one just inside the main state line. It told me that Duffy and Elliot and the old guy with the stained suit would be waiting for me 8 miles ahead. It wasn't just Duffy and Elliot and the old guy. They had a DEA canine unit with them. I guess if you give the government types enough time to think, they'll come up with something you don't expect. I pulled into an area pretty much identical to the Kennebunk one, and saw their two Tauruses parked on the end of the row next to a plain van with a spinning ventilator on the roof. I parked four slots away from them and went through the cautious routine of waiting and watching, but nobody pulled in after me. I didn't worry about the highway shoulder. The trees made me invisible from the highway. There were trees everywhere. Maine has got a whole lot of trees. That was for damn sure. I got out of the truck, and the old guy pulled his car close and went straight into his thing with the soldering iron. Duffy pulled me out of his way by the elbow. "I made some calls," she said. She held up her Nokia like she was proving it to me. "Good news and bad news.